can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
Don't need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Good morning, Sanchez. And anybody else who might be listening to this. Oh, Sanchez, Christmas is for suckers. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm feeling a little guilty right now. I feel like I'm living the polar express opposite of a Sanchez life right now. There's about 2 inches of snow on the ground, which apparently was enough to paralyze traffic downtown and everywhere else yesterday. What basically would just be a Tuesday afternoon portion of a snowfall in Winnipeg is a snow cocalypse, something that just shuts down Portland. Just anyway. So there's that. That's a little different than you. And also, you know, I say hello to all of my postal carriers. Like, I mean, they're not mine. I don't have like a posse of postal carriers that I travel around with, contrary to popular belief. I know that's been the buzz lately. Here's the thing. Oh, it's so much more than a thing. I'm realizing that I enjoy people a lot more in short bursts, probably as much as other people get from their experiences with actual friendships. That's a weird thing to realize, and maybe I just still haven't hit upon the right friends yet. But I don't know. I think it's part of my broken brain. And I understand the reasoning for it, but I kind of enjoy my interactions with strangers more than I look forward to doing anything with people that I know sometimes. Sorry about that. I've got morning frog voice. So on that note of me being me and strangers, I say hello to every postal carrier that I see because I always think of Sanchez for one thing, but also it's because whenever I get on, look how high I'm going to talk this morning. Sorry. But it's also like when I get on the fucking bus every day almost, when I get on, I don't just say good morning, I ask the driver how they are. And this catches some of the drivers by surprise, and they actually thank me for asking how they're doing. And of course, it's like, why wouldn't I? Jesus Christ, they're serving me, they're making my life easier, getting me from point A to point B that I can't do for myself. And they're doing it for everybody else too. You should be nice to that and be grateful for that. And so, you know, you can't make other people do that. And so I do that. And I'm home when I order 40 pounds of cat litter. Nobody has to carry it back to a truck. When I order something, it's because I can't get it in the store because it's too heavy. Polar Express opposite land. And I'm in bed right now. That's right. It's 7:35 in the morning. I've been awake since 6, and I'm just cozy, still in my flannel pajamas, drinking coffee in bed, watching the news on the old iPad. You know, sometimes being poor and on disability doesn't suck. I've been really trying to kind of keep that in mind lately. There's a lot of things that I can't do because I don't have money, obviously. But you know what? Other people have money and they don't have the time or they don't have the energy or blah, blah, blah. So nobody's getting to do what they want. That's the great leveler. Nobody's really getting to do what they want. You just try to do as many things as you enjoy. Listen to me, I'm so philosophical at 7:35 in the morning. But I've been kind of just trying to pay attention to, like, What do I enjoy about my situation instead of just thinking about everything that I hate? And you know I talked about getting rid of records and stuff last week. I'm going to mention it again. And I know I'm going to sound like a total hippie, and maybe this is why I ended up staying on the West Coast. But it feels so good having all of my hardcore records and paraphernalia gone. Like, that was just some heavy male energy, dude. I know how I sound. God, I sound like somebody I want to punch in the fucking face. But it's true. It's not just that I feel lighter because I got rid of shit, because like I love me some possessional purging. But just the fact that it was specifically that stuff, because it was tied to a bad part of my life and a bad kind of type of person that I've known over and over and over again. And so getting rid of that, and I thought about sending like a follow-up email to the record guy, kind of explaining again, like, because I did feel bad that he was surprised he didn't get the poster he really wanted. But I was also really surprised that I didn't get, you know, the bargaining power, whatever the fuck. But I realized, like, no, I just want to close that door for good. And I saw my therapist yesterday. I know I'm going all over the place. New office, by the way. I go downtown now for my stalker friends, which is awesome. It's only one bus. Downtown is where I like to go walking around, like if I just want to get some exercise and go walking because I'm tired of being in my apartment. That's a place that I'll go because there's lots of hills and I always feel safe there. It's one of the few places where, I don't know, like it's like, I hate how the neighborhoods have been ruined by these ugly new houses going up. Okay, there, I said it. I still flip the houses off and I walk past. I know, it's weird. Anyway, but downtown, where buildings look like office buildings, that's where they're supposed to look like office buildings. And so I like walking around downtown. Whereas when I'm walking around my neighborhood or one of the other cute neighborhoods, and it's all like adorable cottage, old weird apartment building, old weird apartment, and then suddenly this big building that looks like an office, but it's really someone's home, that bums me the fuck out. So anyway, and my therapist's new office has a window, which is very exciting, even if it only looks out onto a parking deck. So, you know, sometimes change is good. But anyway, so like I was telling her about it yesterday because it was the first time I'd seen her since the whole thing. And, you know, and she doesn't listen to my podcast, so she didn't hear me talk about it here. How weird would that be? And so, what was I saying? Oh, now I know. And she asked, well, like, how are you going to feel if you see your stuff, you know, like when you see your stuff being sold online for like whatever he marks it up? And I was like, you know, I thought about that. And I looked at his site once and I saw one item and what he was selling it for and realized I don't want to do that to myself. I know, look at that. It's kind of, I don't know if you would call that, like, if I were to keep looking at that, I guess if I were to keep revisiting his website, you could call that self-destructive behavior. Well, why not? One label's as good as another. It doesn't really matter. All it boils down to is how you feel as you're trying to get through the motherfucking day. Am I right, people? That's right. So good morning. And so I just realized, like, why would I want to keep picking at that? Like, that's one of my huge problems is I had this, like, constant, like, repeated cycles of thought that I can't get out of. Ooh, we just got real. And once my brain latches onto it, it's just going to keep, like, picking at it and picking at it, whether it's, like, my fucking annoying neighbors or my anxiety about like calling three different agencies and getting three different answers on whether or not I have Medicaid or Medicare and that, all that. So like whatever my brain can latch onto, it's just going to kind of like keep recycling, cycling, cycling and cycling. And so I'm just kind of like, well, let's just try to eliminate as much negative food for my brain to cycle on as possible, which means not going to his website and seeing what my stuff is selling for. And it means not emailing him, because I spent like 3 days writing an email in my head over and over and over again. That was my cycling loop. And then I realized realized, holy shit, if I send that email, then that's going to generate a response. And then I'm going to do this for another 3 days. And I carried all that motherfucking shit around for 30 years. I am done. And I'm pretty sure you just had to hear some weird, gross stomach sound burbling up from my throat. I'm sorry. But Christmas, Sanchez, this is where I feel like I'm being a little braggy, and I'm sorry. Oh, wait, I want to back up before we get to Christmas. So going back to my whole thing of I'm trying to, I guess, put a positive spin on things just to feed my brain less negative shit for it to chew on, so that way maybe I can actually move forward and enjoy myself more on a daily basis. You know, while the world is burning and crumbling around me and around the rest of us, Canada, can you just get together with Mexico and invade America? Can you just please do that? Just get together with Mexico, take over America. I'm completely fine with you taking away our guns. I'm completely fine with socialized medicine. I love bacon and donuts. I had bacon already this morning. I love flannel. I love plaid. I even like a lot of Canadian bands and have Canadian friends. So obviously I'm a little weak on the Mexico side for Mexican, for Sanchez, your Mexican family. I'm sorry I don't have as much to offer you there, except I do love beans. Because the more you eat. I can't believe I just... Okay. So where was I? Oh, yes, back on the positive spin. So earlier this week, I had to go to Winco. Oh, Winco. Winco is like a super bargain grocery store that you can only pay using cash and food stamps. And so I usually wait to go there when my food stamps have kicked in. And I go there for one specific item that I like to eat on the regular, and they sell it there super cheap. It's this jumbo pack of bean and cheese burritos. Hey, Mexico, I do have something to offer you. See, come on over. Please invade. And where I can get like 18 of them at Winco for the price of like 12 of them at the regular grocery store. And I hate going out there because... like, I really am going out there just because there's, like, a few things that are way cheaper than what I would normally get, and there are things that I use enough that makes a difference to my food stamp balance and poverty level that I'm finding positive spins on. Look at me go. Because, like, they're fresh, like, their vegetables and stuff, like, all that's pretty much, like, hooey. Like, it's just not that great. So, anyway, who cares? And it's just, it's in a more depressed part of town, and I'm depressed enough, let me tell you. And there's always, like you're walking through the Tower of Babylon just getting to the grocery store, because it's a whole international convention there at the Coinstar and turning the cans in. So it's everything from, like, meth hooker lady to dude in turban riding away on his bicycle, looking very regal and handsome. And just lots of missing teeth, not littering the sidewalk though, although that would be interesting. And then I would be tempted to pick them up, and that would be a really weird situation, I think, for everybody, but I would want those fucking teeth. Anyway, so it's just... so there's that gauntlet that you have to walk through. It's just like walking through like New York City in 1980, like, you know, for everybody that's done that, who gives a shit, but it's just creepy. And then at my bus stop to come home, like, I stand there and there's no less than 5 homeless encampments, like, set up in what little grassy area that isn't actually part of a housing development or part of the road. So it's raining and miserably cold. It's like 30. I know, I'm going to talk American degrees here. It's 30 degrees Fahrenheit. Which probably still, whatever you translate it to in Canadianese, still seems like summertime compared to Winnipeg. I know. Like I said, opposite land. And so, you know, I'm standing there, you know, feeling poor, but still glad that I've got food stamp money and a couple of bags full of groceries while I stand there. And there's these like homeless tents all set up. And it's like, fuck, I hate doing that so much. Like, that sucks. But then I dawned on me Monday morning, I don't drive, which means I can get high and go to the Winco. I know that sounds lame. I don't care. I don't drink at all. I just have my medical marijuana card. And it's either that or take an anti-anxiety pill. And an anti-anxiety pill just makes me sleepy and doesn't put me in a good mood. Whereas a little Mary Jane, look at me. How cute, Mary Jane. Just like my shoes, my Mary Janes. Whereas enjoying that and then putting in the earbuds to listen to my favorite band, we all know who that is, while I get on the bus and ride, like that suddenly makes dealing with all of that stuff that makes me so paralyzed with anxiety, it not only makes it doable, but it makes me enjoy my experience. And I know you're thinking, oh my God, you should never let a stoner go grocery shopping because how much extra shit is she buying, motherfuckers? Because like munchy brain. Nope. In fact, it tends to make me even more diligent. I don't think people should drive when stoned, but people will talk about the fact that they overcompensate as drivers, and so they're somehow safer drivers because they drive slower or something. It's like, no, you should not drive high. But that means that I overcompensate my concern of like being irresponsible, and I stick to my grocery list. And the only thing different that I did is I felt calm enough to actually go check out the bulk food section, which before I have been there 3 times and had never even gone to that area. Because yes, that can be scary to me. I know, how fucking retarded. It's not that it's scary to me. It's just, it's a sensory overload. It's just more than I can handle. Like a new thing is a new thing. And it's like, it feels like a thunderstorm. That was a little roll there. Sorry about that. But that's what I mean. It's like, here are things that suck. Yes, it's a pain in the ass not to drive when it's super cold and windy and cold, wet stuff is falling from the sky. And you've got to deal with crazy people just to get into the grocery store. And then you've got to stand there and stare at what you feel is your future life being homeless. Like, that's my constant fear. Like, all of that is fucking awful. But on the plus side, I can get high. And I can make that. So there you go. That's my lemonade. But Christmas. Let's get to Christmas for a second. This, like I said, is where I'm going to feel a little bit like I'm bragging, because I have zero plans and zero obligations for Christmas. Did you hear that? Zero. None. And let me tell you, I couldn't be happier. Like, my first Christmas here, I really felt like I should have a Christmas, because that's what I had been stuck doing for the previous 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever years that I was with my husband. Because the whole time he wasn't my husband, some of it was my boyfriend, and so I'm just lumping into like a lump sum of years there. And I had to do Christmas all the time. And so I just felt like, oh, I have to still do Christmas, but it's my first time alone. And that's when shit was really hitting the fan for me. I guess I got my disability by Christmas time 3 years ago. But it was just like, it was a really, like that first time here was like really awful and tough. And I just, like, I had all these expectations of what it would be or should be. And it was just a whole bunch of nonsense that made me miserable. And then the next Christmas last year, my friends, who I really do enjoy their company, had to work at the movie theater where they work at, and where I get to see free movies if I feel like taking 2 buses to go across town, which is, it's like an hour each way. And so I really have to think about, like, is it worth it just to go do that? And it, well, who cares? I'm derailing for nothing there. So I was going to go see them on Christmas Day, like I'd seen them on Thanksgiving Day at the work. Oh my goodness, there's Millie. Sorry. And now I'm suddenly distracted by my cat fucking with the curtains. So last Christmas, I was going to go visit them at the movie theater. But I got on the bus, and on the first of the two buses that I had to take there, there was just like angry homeless dudes. And I just thought, like, man, my bus ride home after dark is going to be even more unpleasant than this is making me feel right now. So I'm going to go home. And so I didn't go to the theater. My friends are awesome. Like, they understood. Like, they wouldn't have done it either. And so this year, I'm not even trying. Like, oops, I think I woke my upstairs neighbor. Hang on. Okay, I don't feel bad about waking my upstairs neighbor because the motherfucker woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning walking around his bedroom. Oh, creaky floors. Why don't you do your pacing in the living room if you're drunk at 2 in the morning? Okay, anyway, enough of that. So back to Christmas time. So yeah, this year, it's like, I don't give a shit about Christmas. Why would I try? Why would I... Because like I said, I ended up blowing off Thanksgiving, and it was really nice to be invited somewhere, and I felt bad that I couldn't go, but I didn't feel bad that I was home alone on a Thursday eating whatever the fuck I wanted to, you know? And Christmas is... Man, I fucking hate it. For one thing, I do. I do. Jesus Christ. I was raised Southern Baptist in Virginia. Okay, so can you just like kind of imagine that for a little bit? Like, just think of all your hee-haw, PTL club, all that shit. Hello, that's how I was raised. Okay, that explains a couple of things maybe. And then my mom... If she wasn't involved in a marriage, of which she had three, she would just get manically hysterical at Christmas time and have to just have an open house for all of her coworkers and other single adults who might be alone on Christmas, which sounds like a really lovely thought, but I'm spinning it as like a really lovely thought. Really what it was my mom demanding to be the center of attention and inviting all the lonely losers that she knew who would come over and give her that attention. And my brother and I would be whipped up into her frenzy and have to make sure that everything was like, you know, perfect in the house and everything was ready and everything was cooked and everything was cleaned. And for some reason that was our responsibility, even though it wasn't our friends coming over. And that's when I developed my love of Scrabble, because my brother and I would just hide off in a bedroom and play Scrabble and make fun of her friends. And then she would also get hysterical about, oh my God, like I remember one year, my second stepdad, there you go. He was an asshole. He was a loser. He was all sorts of... He was a used car salesman who was deaf in one ear because the current boyfriend of his ex-girlfriend pretended to have a car breakdown at the side of the road, knowing that Ron, my second stepdad, would travel that road and would pull over to help him out. And so when Ron pulled over to help this guy out, the guy beat him with the tire iron. That's the story I heard. And I think my mom also learned at that point, like after being married to him for a year, that, oh, he has a small child with the woman who was with that guy with the tire iron. And so one Christmas, suddenly we had this like 3-year-old over at the house because like Ron inexplicably had custody of him. That was like the one and only time that I ever saw Ron's kid was that Christmas day. So there's another Christmas thing for you. And maybe that was the same Christmas where Ron just like at the last minute, it looked like he did all of his Christmas shopping for my mom at the corner drugstore. And my mom expects like my family does Christmas lists, so that way people get what they want for Christmas. Like, it's a science at, you know, in my family. Millie, you're going to cough up a hairball. I'm getting distracted again. Sorry. So Ron did all of his Christmas shopping at the motherfucking People's Drugstore, and went after my mom, unwrapped them all, and like he went away to go drinking beer in the basement or whatever. She just like burst out crying and then like tore into a rage. And so that's kind of what I think about family Christmas time. I did have one interesting Christmas at a prison. Did I tell that story? Sanchez, you'll have to let me know via Messenger if I told my Christmas at prison story. But the other reason why I really fucking hate Christmas is because I worked retail. And, you know, Sanchez, you know, the customer service life hell. And everybody's on their worst behavior at Christmas. Everybody is on their absolute worst behavior at Christmas. They don't understand why you don't have exactly what you want at that moment. And they don't understand why you can't order it for them in time so they can come pick it up on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Yep. At one fancy bookstore that I worked in at a fancy mall in Fairfax, Virginia, my boss had brought in, she was like super creative and crafty and everything. And so she brought in stuff from home and made a nativity scene there in the front window of our store. And, you know, the whole thing with like, I forget like what she used as the parents, but she had this baby doll that had been her doll as a kid that she used as the baby Jeebus. And yeah, baby Jeebus was stolen right out from the window display. So that was great. That was great watching her completely distraught and melting down. Granted, why would you bring in something from your own childhood? But still, that was just like a shitty thing. And then when I worked in a bookstore in Oakland, and hey, Oakland's been in the news in case you haven't seen that story about the ghost ship. Anyway, when I worked at the Walden Books in Oakland, the one that I was later held up at gunpoint at, on Christmas Eve, a guy, you know, we had like one of those sensor alarms because we had a real theft problem there at the bookstore in Oakland. And so, you know, we had those like sensor alarms and the magnetic strips that you put in books and stuff. And this old black guy who was a regular at the store that we always had to keep an eye on him in his trench coat, he set off the alarms as he was leaving on Christmas Eve. And we had to stop him and ask him to open his coat. And yeah, he was shoplifting a Bible on Christmas Eve. It's not only the best-selling book, but probably the most shoplifted book, I guess. And that's really kind of fucking depressing, is just busting somebody shoplifting a Bible on Christmas Eve in Oakland. That's just a whole kind of bummer right there. Of like, this is... like, you're just missing the point so much. Missing the point so much. Because here's the thing, as I'm walking from room to room. To me, Christmas is, like, if you look, like, just across the mythology, like, you can look at Christianity, you can look at fucking Hanukkah with, like, lighting the lights in the night, winter solstice, like, it's the longest night of the year, and you're just so glad that, like, oh, daybreak has returned, life does continue. It's basically like a renewal story, you know, that's what it is. It's a renewal. It's kind of like a reset in a way. And that renewal and that reset, like, and like, I'm taking, like, I'm not even getting into the other stuff that people believe in terms of like love and salvation and blah, 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 blah. I'm just talking like the most basic, simple, we can all agree on this, regardless of faith or lack thereof, that it really is kind of like a renewal story. And that has nothing to do with buying things. Absolutely nothing to do with buying things. It doesn't even really have to do with eating things. So in a way, I guess I am kind of celebrating Christmas because I'm not doing those things. What I'm really doing is I'm clearing off all of my credit card debt. That's right. That's a little update there. I'll skip all the boring details, but I'm clearing off all of my credit card debt and still going to have some money set aside. I know, miracle. And then I'm setting my credit cards aside in a drawer, and I'm not using them unless I need to for an emergency or if I decide I want to take a trip somewhere. I'm going to use them like I used to use them back when I had a job, which means not at all. Or I only will use my Amex card if I'm in a situation where I don't want to use my debit card, and then I pay that off instantly. I'm having a reset in a way. I purged all that shit that I've been carrying around for 30 plus years for no reason at all, except other people thought I should or because I knew it was worth money. Gone. Paid off. $12,000 worth of credit card debt, gone. And I get to kind of just see what's next. I get to really budget for myself because I know exactly what I'm trying to work with, because I know what I don't want to get into in terms of debt again. A lot of that debt was kind of started because I thought I was going to be working to pay it off. So I wasn't as much of a tightwad as I should have been. And most of it was just resetting up like a new home after leaving everything behind on the East Coast. Well, I've done all that. I don't need new stuff for my apartment. I don't need new clothes. I did treat myself to some art supplies. I did treat myself to a Thundercunt t-shirt and a Sparks t-shirt. But anyway, back to Christmas. So in a weird way, I'm kind of really celebrating it because I've given myself or been presented with this big old reset. And I kind of have like this weird clean slate, which means I also don't have a lot of predisposed negative brain cycling going on. So I kind of have a chance to maybe put some positive stuff in there, like, oh, instead of fixating on I haven't sold my records yet, I can now fixate on what would this city be like to travel to by train. And that's a lot more interesting and fun of a thing to fixate on. And that's kind of also where I'm sounding, oh, Sanchez, I'm sorry to sound braggy, but you know what? Like, poverty does suck. It's really inconvenient, the fact that I will never have the skill to drive a car. But on the other hand, I'm only responsible for myself, and I'm only responsible for my cat. And that's kind of great. Like, I know I used to talk about being like super lonely and stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's also part of like my reset or something. Like, I've had the chance to see people more, and I think knowing that I have that option is always there instantly makes me feel better at, like, a base level, so I don't feel so woe is me. But in general, I realize how much I really like my time alone and how much I really am an introvert. And when I interact with people, I only like to do it in like sporadic bursts where I'm basically in complete control and can just evacuate the situation at any time, which means I'm also get to be in complete control of my bowels. I still haven't shit my pants, Sanchez. And I know every time I say that, I'm bringing that day closer to home. But Sanchez, how is it? I'm 53 years old and I still haven't shit my pants. Okay, well, Merry Christmas. Oh, good. I can still add to this. One more thing. Sanchez, buy yourself a little treat. Or if you have a really great library system, check it out for free. Because, again, I'm a tightwad. But if you haven't read Amy Poehler's book that she did a couple of years ago, I think it's called Yes, Please. I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. But if you haven't read that, that's a real... That's a funny ha-ha and a feel-good book. And I would really recommend that you do that as a nice thing for yourself. You know, anybody else, you can do that too. Like, I'm not gonna try to dissuade anybody from buying Amy Poehler's book. Fuck no, I wouldn't do that. But Sanchez, you know, if I were a person that was the kind of person that actually went to Amazon and ordered something for somebody and sent it to them, if I was that kind of a human being, I would send you that Amy Poehler book. So since I'm not that kind of a human being, hey, Merry Christmas, treat yourself. Try not to shit your pants. I'm sorry that... fucking microwave. Okay, bye.